NOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Mark Begich of Alaska are co-sponsoring an amendment to move forward building four heavy icebreakers. The amendment is attached to the Defense Reauthorization Bill in the Senate. It would allow the Navy to begin shopping contracts for bids on all the components necessary to build the costly boats. Matthew Felling is communications director for Senator Murkowski. He says the amendment is designed to tie Arctic awareness to issues of national defense.
Senator Murkowski and Senator Begich and the Washington senators wanted to try and really firmly place icebreakers and the priority of the Arctic agenda into the National Defense Authorization Act through this amendment to the main bill.
The ships are especially important for the Coast Guard, which oversees 800,000 nautical miles of Alaska's coasts. According to an internal memo released within the Coast Guard, the branch needs 10 icebreakers just to be able to do their job in U.S. Arctic waters. Currently, they have two.
Our Coast Guard does the most with the least that you can imagine. But with every passing year, we see the news, we see the increasing water and decreasing ice in the Arctic, and there's more room for the Coast Guard to operate.
A number of different governmental bodies are anticipating a greater need for Arctic capabilities and capacity. Last week, the Defense Department released its Arctic Strategy Plan, outlining general needs and interests for a bigger American presence in northern waters. And at Monday's City Council meeting, Representative Neil Foster touted Nome's proposed port expansion as an important step for developing economic interests further into the Arctic. Felling says Senator Murkowski sees the proposed icebreakers as a necessary step to keep up with global competitors for resources.
We really need to step up our game and give the Coast Guard what they need to protect us, and also give the Department of Defense what they need to allow us to protect our interests. What we see in the Arctic is 33 icebreakers from Russia, 6 icebreakers from China. All the Scandinavian countries are investing in icebreakers. India has even signed a contract to purchase an icebreaker.
Icebreakers are huge and extremely expensive, especially the heavier models sought in the proposed legislation. Each one costs around $900 million and takes between 8 to 10 years to build. Even amid shrinking funds for large-scale state and federal projects, Felling maintains that the ships are an important investment.
It takes money to make money. There is so much economic opportunity that lies ahead of us in the Arctic. We are trying to make an investment in our future as a nation, resource development, critical minerals, shipping, tourism. Once we unlock this door, then we will be able to profit from it.
Murkowski and Begich's co-sponsors for the amendment are Senators Cantwell and Murray, both of Washington. The Alaska Department of Public Safety is asking the public to comment on proposed changes that would allow qualifying village public safety officers to carry firearms while on duty. Officials say the proposed changes would also specify how VPSOs could qualify. Public comments will be taken until 4:30 January 17th. And the latest round of Bering Sea storms beat up Alaska's coastline, including Nutok. The community's move to Mudjahvik on Nelson Island may be more pressing than ever, but the long relocation process is being held up due to a tribal council dispute. And according to Stanley Tom, as coastal erosion continues to eat away at Nutok's land, vital community infrastructure is at risk.
It's really bad. I mean, the erosion is really near. The fuel header is being impacted right now. It's just around the erosion, and the water source is getting there. Our last water source will be impacted next summer.
Tom describes himself as the tribal administrator for the traditional council. That's for the old council, which lacks support from either the BIA or the state. The struggle between the old and new council led to a wasted 2013 construction season at the emergency shelter for the new site. The dispute centers around the idea that the old council did not hold elections for 7 years. In October of last year, elections were held and the old council was voted out. George Carl is vice president of the new council. He points to the community's dissatisfaction with the old council.
Well, I'd call it a playhouse. After the expiration,
their terms, you know. Well, that if you understand what's going on, you know, according to my understanding, these guys were illegally operating all these years without any elections or that kind of stuff.
The old council points to different elections last November in which the members retained their seat. Whatever the case may be, Scott Ruby, director for the State Division of Community and Regional Affairs, says the agencies that fund projects like relocation cannot have dueling councils.
There's not two councils out there. There's only one council. The dispute is over who are the council members of that to control the funds and the actions and the progress.
In the meantime, the community is trying to move. They have about $10 million in grants through the state with $4 million spent, but perhaps not all properly. An audit by the state found some troubling accounting, and they want $302,000 back, according to Ruby.
Preliminary findings are there were some double billings of some of the expenses that were filed for materials and purchases, and that there was some inconsistencies in the payroll. And so the audit as it is now says that we will consider some of these expenditures not to be valid and they need to be repaid.
Stanley Tom says it goes back to accounting mistakes from when the DOT was managing the project before the local leadership took over. The audit highlights some of the wages that Tom received along with project consultant George Olutuk.
We did get paid way less than the state agencies were getting paid. You know, they were getting $168 an hour, and we were way below. Like, we billed our, like, $80 an hour, and they were still complaining.
With or without the longtime leader, the project is inching back to life, and the 2014 construction season is not far away. The evacuation shelter is now just an empty concrete foundation and will require new drawings to be able to use the materials that sit on the site. Ruby says the tribe is not yet spending funds, but it's able to do the background work.
Coming up next summer, these are the things that need to get done. Let's work on getting this stuff ready so we can order whatever materials need to be ordered for the barges so they can be put on the barges. Let's, you know, do whatever permits need to get done.
In the meantime, the old council is appealing the BIA's decision. They say they have proof of elections and the case goes to a national board, which could wait a year before it takes up the appeal. A look at the price of gold today, down $1.40 an ounce to $1,241.60. An ounce of silver down 13 cents to $19.79. And the price of zinc at 83 cents a pound. It's unofficially 18 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.